This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Welcome to the Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. V to the Victoria is here, feeling great because her Panthers finally put up a number in the win column.
Yes!
Breaking a 9-game regular season losing streak. Why do I even have to say regular season?
Yeah, it's bad.
They haven't had playoff game in a while, so
I know.
It's just a 9-game losing streak. I guess I should say regular season because some people want to count the preseason.
They do. The friendlies.
Yes, exactly. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
You got to win.
So apparently I just need to not pick them to win. I need to go the opposite.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if I thought they would win or not. I will say that it is clear that I have been wrong about the New Orleans Saints. Very clear that I have been wrong about the New Orleans Saints. It was just funny about just perusing social media, and I saw reporters talking about, you know, Dennis Allen is not going to switch quarterbacks. I'm like, wait a second. You really think the problem is Jameis Winston? The guy's playing with like, broken bones in his back?
Yeah.
That guy, I mean, if you were going to replace Jameis Winston, it would be because of that. Because he once again threw for over 300 yards. He was pretty good. I don't think he was amazing, but he was pretty good. Their problem is not at quarterback.
No.
Their problem is that the rest of that offense just, and they've got pieces. So my only guess is that their offensive line just isn't good enough.
Right.
And they don't give Winston a lot of time. So there are mistakes made, but man, I just don't think the problem is that. And frankly, that was not a great football game for most of yesterday, but it's okay. It's okay that it wasn't a great football game. You must have been thrilled to finally watch your team win.
Well, you would think so, but I was at a baby shower.
Excuse you?
I know. How rude. Rude. Look, I know you can't plan when you have a baby, but we can
plan when we
have a shower.
We have that technology now. You can plan when you have a baby. Some people do.
Right. But to put it on football Sunday, rude. But yeah. And of course, the actual activity was an outdoor shelter, so I couldn't even like watch a TV in the background.
Oh, no. Like it wasn't at somebody's house.
Nope. It was outside.
Yep. Oh, that's no good.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
I'm sure they didn't care.
Oh, they didn't care at all. She probably doesn't even know it's football season. But
oh, no.
Me, I'm looking at my phone like, okay, what's this corner?
You have to choose your friends better. So, real quick, just a suggestion.
Yes.
If you are, and I'm not saying you're this way, but if you are a superstitious type of person.
Right.
Victoria goes to baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers break 9-game losing streak. Therefore, next Sunday, when the Arizona Cardinals are here, we need a list of local baby showers so we can send Victoria out to a baby shower.
Let's go.
So the Panthers can win 2 in a row.
1 + 1 = 2. So,
all right. So on Twitter, at V_2_TheVictoria.
Yes.
If you know of a baby shower on Sunday, with no television access, by the way. We can't have television access.
Yeah, no.
So if we have a baby shower that we can dispatch Victoria to, then we'll do that.
I don't know why I'm agreeing to this because I missed football yesterday bad. But if that's what it takes for the Panthers to get a win.
We have DVRs now.
We do.
So
I'll sacrifice.
There you go. That's what we need. We need a list of available baby showers for Sunday. And if it works again Sunday, then next week, when the 49ers are here.
Got to keep it going.
Do it again. So and as Crash Davis.
Yes.
Well, I can't tell the whole truth, the whole quote, but you don't mess with the streak.
No.
You do not mess with the streak. And right now, the Panthers have won 1 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. All right, let's start. Will Brinson joins us in 10 minutes, so I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Panthers, but I've seen a lot of sentiment about how ugly the game was in professional sports. Actually, in sports, you do not apologize for winning ugly. Somebody has to win. We see many games where, like, and Dabo Sweeney said it, by the way, on Saturday, both teams deserve to win. Sometimes both teams deserve to lose. Doesn't matter. Don't apologize for winning that game, especially when you are the Panthers. Here's Matt Rhule.
Oh, yeah. Don't please don't get me wrong. I wanted to win the first week. I wanted to win the second week. So I'm just not going to feed into, like, hey, it's been this long or that long. I think that's one of the problems, honestly, that we're trying to get our guys past, is it's not like just because we won this week doesn't mean you're going to win that. Like, just every week, just go compete. And, you know, we're not a perfect team right now, so we're just going to keep trying to get better and better and better at it. But trust me, I'm happy. I'm happy that we won. I'm happy for these guys.
They're not a perfect team. Truer words never been spoken.
Yeah.
Do not worry about the state of the Panthers' offense, at least their passing offense, which was not really good. Baker Mayfield does continue to struggle. You take out the Laviska Shenault. I'd forgotten he was on the roster. So, I mean, it came at the right. They needed a big play, right?
Yeah.
So, little swing pass, make one guy miss, and you're gone. Awesome. Take those 67 yards out, and Mayfield completed 11 of 24 for 103 yards. It ain't good. Now, we do agree that the Saints' defense is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Saints do have a good defense. Here's Baker Mayfield on how all of this is playing in the locker room.
I mean, this is a new season. We have a ton of new guys, for me at least, obviously, being here for the first time. It's just one game at a time, one play at a time. You know, this is, you know, you think about, from what I've heard, just all the games that were close, one score games last year, and just trying to learn how to eliminate those mistakes, make those plays that do make a difference. And so the narrative in our locker room right now is just do the little things right. Just do your job, go execute, because we have the pieces. So if we just play well and execute, good things will happen.
Defense was great. Frankie Louvu is the best veteran bargain in the NFL.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
That guy makes plays all game long.
Yeah.
When they signed him, I'm trying to remember. I think I talked to Darren Gant about this when they signed him to the contract. It's not a big contract. But it was, you know, he was an interchangeable piece for them. You know, he'd play in some third down situations. He was a special teamer. I mean, he's a first choice player, to use a soccer term. He is a first choice player. Frankie Louvu on the field as much as possible, right in my veins.
Yes.
I love Frankie Louvu. So good for him. Good for the Panthers defense. He made the play that Marcus Haynes Sr. scored the touchdown on. It was Louvu who stripped the ball from Alvin Kamara. Special teams was good. At least it was better than the Saints.
Right.
Special teams was bad for them. And again, I remain very wrong on the New Orleans Saints. All right, moving to college football. NC State, remain focused on what's in front of you. This is the best chance you have ever had to claim something. Well, there was the year where the final game of the season was against Maryland, and if you win that, you win the Atlantic. Forget that. That was a different Atlantic division. This, in front of you this week, the non-conference part of the schedule is over. State squashed UConn 41-10. They did use a lot of players for Dave Doran.
Yeah, proud of the guys. You know, core value was focus, and the guys were that. They came out excited to play, came out with a great start, obviously, with the big touchdown to Thayer to open the game. It's good to see Devin getting a rhythm. I thought almost everything we talked about during the week, we got to see. You know, we wanted to see guys make contact catches, and it's great to see Devin Carter play that way. You know, the ball got spread around to numerous receivers, and guys were catching the ball well. And it's great to have some guys score their first touchdowns. You know, Porter Rooks got in the end zone. Keon Lassane got in the end zone. So it was good to get that. I thought, you know, run game early was pretty good. And then, you know, once Demi went out, we got some of the younger backs some good reps. You know, defensively, we played well, you know, really until the end there when we had a lot of the walk-on guys and our freshmen in the game, getting them some reps. But just proud of them. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that don't play the way that they're supposed to in games like that. And we got better. And that was the key as we get, you know, done with the preseason or the non-conference part of our schedule and get ready to, you know, play three straight games against undefeated teams right now. I mean, Clemson, Florida State, Syracuse are all undefeated. So we've got three really good opponents coming up, and two of those are road games. Excited just about the progress that we've made as a team, and look forward to what's in front of us.
There's a lot. And if Ian cooperates, the field in Death Valley will not be a mess. We'll see what happens with Hurricane Ian. It won't be a hurricane by the time it descends on the southeast or the mid-Atlantic at this point, but hopefully it will not be an absolute mess. Anyway, State played two quarterbacks, had six different ball carriers, 10 pass receivers, 26 players got in the stat book on defense. So there was a lot. There were a lot of players who got involved. State is also 10th now in both polls, in the AP poll and the coaches poll. They are 10th. They are about to play in their first ever regular season top 10 matchup. College game day is going to be in Clemson. Prime time. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Be a good one.
This is going to be a long week.
Yeah.
This is going to be a long week. Good for the Wolfpack to just take care of business. And now it does get real. As Dave Doran said, Clemson, they're 5th. Florida State is in the polls in the bottom part of the top 25. They're 4-0. They dismantled Boston College over the weekend. Syracuse with their second, Houdini escape. I don't know how good Syracuse is. I really don't. But going up there, that ain't going to be easy. So this is a good three-game stretch for the Wolfpack. All right, let me ask this question about North Carolina. Since when did you join the Sun Belt? Because, you're not the little engine that could, Mac. Tar Heels completely overmatched by Notre Dame. 100% overmatched by Notre Dame. And according to the head coach, got completely out-jimmied by the Irish offense.
Yeah, our defense has been inconsistent since we've been here. So what I would say is support these kids and pick them up and be so positive and try to encourage them because they're trying really, really hard. And there's some very talented players out there that are going to keep getting better. I think tonight, anybody that walks out of this and couldn't see that they were better than we were doesn't understand football. 26 straight wins over ACC teams in the regular season. This isn't the first night somebody stood in here and talked about how good Notre Dame ran the ball.
Okay, 26 straight ACC regular season games. I'm not sure that's exactly like scaling the North Face, Mac, but, okay, facts only. Even more telling to me was how Mac opened up the press conference. Here it is.
I want to congratulate Notre Dame. They played great. They played like a top 10 team tonight, and that's the team that we saw play three quarters against Ohio State, and we were afraid that's what we'd see tonight. So they got their quarterback hit 24 out of 34. When you rush the ball as well as they did tonight, everything else works, and it's easy. So they hit a few explosive plays in the passing game. We only had the ball a little over 21 minutes, and that's the best way to beat us is keep our offense off the field. And I thought the start of the second half was an absolute killer. They drive down and score, and then we fumble the first play, and they take it down. I thought we'd stopped them on the 4th and 3, but they called pass interference and gave them a new start. So I was proud of the way the kids fought. We can get better as a team, but they didn't quit. They gave us everything they had, and tonight Notre Dame was better than we are. And they've had top 10 recruiting classes every year, so you know they've got great players. They just haven't put it together yet.
Okay. That last part is really where I want to focus, because if you watch the press conference or listen to it, there was a lot of mention of top 10 recruiting classes. Will Brinson's going to join us here in just a second, by the way. I think it's important to note that in the last 4 seasons, there really isn't a dramatic difference between the recruiting for these two programs. Not at least according to the rankings. So in the last 4 years, let's go backwards from this year or 22 to 19. Notre Dame, 7th, 9th, 18th, 15th. North Carolina, last 4 years, 11th, 14th, 14th, 30th. 30th is not great, but it's also not the worst thing we've ever seen. So there isn't a dramatic difference in the quality of the recruiting class. I think it really comes down to player development and where are your best recruits lining up on the field. Are they mostly on the edges? Are they mostly corners, safeties, although that's been a problem for North Carolina, wide receivers, running backs, or are they defensive linemen, linebackers, big guys? My guess is that Notre Dame has been better there, certainly better on the offensive line. We're going to unpack more about this later, but quick hot take here before we get to Will. UNC is not about big boy football. It's just not. The number 7, the running back for Notre Dame, looked like he was bigger than most of Carolina's defensive linemen. Reality. It just didn't look like they could handle big boy football. So when you're playing the apps of the world, no offense to App, I have no idea what happened to them this weekend. 28-3 up at home over JMU to lose. But when you're playing App or Georgia Southern, or rather Georgia State, or most of the schools in the ACC, it doesn't look bad. You look the same. You look like all of them. But as soon as you step up in class, yeah, that looked like 2 completely different sports. 287 yards on the ground for Notre Dame. Carolina could not run the ball. Could not run the ball. And real quick about Notre Dame, who had 900 total yards through their first 3 games combined. And at what, they played Ohio State in week 1. Defense played well, but Ohio State shut them down. Then they hosted Marshall and hosted Cal. Now, unless Marshall and Cal are headed towards 10-win seasons, it ain't like Notre Dame was facing the mid-70s Steelers and the 85 Bears defenses. So, Carolina just got gashed. 475-ish yards of total offense by the Irish with a backup quarterback who really isn't that good. Just not a very good performance at all by UNC. And I don't think it's about recruiting. Sorry, I don't think it's about recruiting unless there's such a fall off between, say, 10 and 15. And I can't believe there's that big a difference between 10 and 15. Will Brinson's going to join us on the other side. I am Adam Gold. V to the Victoria, producing the program. Panthers 1. There were some upsets, though.
Yeah.
We got to talk about them with Will next. Week 3 of the NFL season ended beautifully for the Carolina Panthers. First time that we could say that in 9 regular season weekends. Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast moderator, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, sporting his master's hat if you are watching on WRAL Sports Plus. Big smile for you. Is that because the Panthers snapped a 9-game regular season losing streak?
No. It's because I'm laughing at the fact that somehow I'm the only member of the highly esteemed ATW group chat who is doing any work this week in anticipation of game day in Clemson. Like literally people are cashing in vacation chips because there's just, you can't focus on work. You're too busy thinking about Dabo and Hurricane Ian and game day. And oh goodness gracious.
I said this like before the break, this is going to be a long week for NC State.
It's a long week.
I mean, really long. First ever top 10 matchup for the football program ever.
I never smile on Mondays around noon. Like I'm usually too exhausted to smile. I'm like, I'm giddy thinking about it. I felt bad because I actually ran into at the last state game. I ran into Coach Dave Doran leaving, and I think when I said it was dark out there in the parking lot, I think I said CBS Sports, and he was like, oh my god, like, if you asked me a question about this game, like ran. So Dave, if my apologies for that. I do think that. Briefly, before we go to the Panthers, that one thing that is different about this NC State team, and I love it, and I credit Coach Doran and all of the coaches and Devin Leary and all the leaders on that team, is that they're saying, look, we want the pressure.
Yes.
They're not running from it, which is something that I think might have happened, I don't know how many years ago, but like they are embracing the pressure of being a top 10 team and having to go to Clemson. And you know what? Football's a weird game. Weird things happen. But
But the thing is, they don't need anything weird to happen. They're good. They're good. Yeah, they just got to go play. They just got to go block. And
also, never schedule East Carolina in week one ever again, please.
All right, let's move away from that. All right.
Sorry.
Schedule the Panthers, who might be easier to beat. No kidding. Look, Matt Rhule, I think, was smart after the game. Like, they're not apologizing. It doesn't matter that their offense is still awful. It just doesn't, other than the times Christian McCaffrey touches the ball, which is still not enough for me. They won a game. And what does that do? Forget about how. The fact is, they scored more points than the other team for the first time in a year and a half. Can we just revel in that?
Well, I mean, you know, football is a weird game. It is 11 dudes on each side of the field, or, you know, 11 guys on each team chasing around a oblong shaped inflated piece of pigskin.
Yep.
Like, it's a weird game and weird things happen. The Panthers could be tied for first place in the division.
Oh, stop, please. No. Stop.
Again, I'm not saying that they're any good. I'm just saying that I think my point was this, is that last night on the Pick Six podcast, we were looking at the NFC. Like the Bears are in the playoffs right now if the playoffs started.
Yeah, they're 2-1.
And this NFL season, through 3 weeks, Adam, 18 games, I believe, decided by 3 points or less. That's the most through 3 weeks in NFL history. To me, it looks like the most parity-filled season we may have seen in a while. Like, I don't see, based on the teams that are maybe the Eagles, but based on the teams that are even the best teams right now, I don't see how anyone just pulls away this year. And that's not to say the Panthers can make some noise, but man, that 7 seed in the NFC is going to be terrible. and it could be a terrible Carolina team. I doubt it.
Oh, stop. Stop. Stop.
The defense is really good. The defense is really good.
Nah. Stop.
Anything I say between now and Saturday should be taken with a total grain of insane salt. All right, like
you've already started tailgating. Are you going to Death Valley? You're thinking about it. That's right.
I'm going. I'm going.
Oh, my gosh! I haven't been since
either 2001 or 2002, and I'm not at liberty to disclose publicly the details of how that trip went.
I'm just saying this right now. Take next Monday off. I'm giving you.
Do you know
next,
what I sound like on Sunday night's podcast?
I know.
Week?
I know. Oh my God. So I'm telling you to take Monday off.
I'm sound like Giacomo.
All right, let's get – that would be great. All right, let's talk – look, Baker didn't play well. Defense played well, though. And, you know, if there's anything we're going to kind of hang on, the secondary looked better, even though I think the Saints have really good receivers. Michael Thomas, Olave is legit. And you had to deal with Kamara's kind of banged up, and maybe that led to the fumble. But Frankie Louvu makes a big play. Marcus Saint Sr. scoops it up, shows you his athleticism by running away from the pursuit. So the defense played really well. They got some breaks. Field goal team was a mess for the Saints, and the Saints might be a mess. Maybe the Saints aren't nearly as good as touted them.
The Saints, I don't think the NFC South is particularly great. The Buccaneers are really banged up. They're clearly the class of the division. I think when you look at the Bucs, Packers, Rams, and I'm forgetting the other division.
The Eagles are the best team.
Eagles, thank you. Yes, I feel like those four teams, as much as I'm touting the parity of the NFC, those four teams, I think it's like 4-1 if you can parlay them to win the division. Those feel like pretty safe. You know, 3 weeks ain't nothing safe, but those feel like currently pretty safe bets to win their division. The Saints, I think, are just bad.
Yeah, I can't figure it out because I think they have really good personnel on both sides of the ball.
I think the Saints are a lot like the Panthers. They have a good defense and an offense that, dude, Sean Payton left. Sean Payton's one of the best, like the 10 best play callers of the last 25 years.
No question about it. It must be offensive line that is holding them back because Kamara's great. Again, I talked about the two wide receivers, and I actually think Winston has played pretty well. He's erratic, no question about it, but he makes a ton of – he threw for over 350 yards again yesterday.
But it's all in, like, the second half, and I don't know if that's game planning or Jameis, but –
maybe.
You know,
could be.
It's like a very erratic version of what the Seahawks used to do with Russell Wilson. Like, oh, look, we're down. make with the magic beans and go score points.
Yeah, I don't know how, look, they were just terrible in the first half. The first half was slow. Actually, the first half was fast. It was two teams that wanted to run the ball, and the clock kept moving. I couldn't, like, wait, we're done? First half's over? I can get some work done. All right, let me ask you about probably I don't know if it was the game of the day, but it was the finish and the outcome of the day with the Dolphins beating the Bills 21-19. Buffalo tried to get to the line of scrimmage and spiked the ball, but ran out of time, much like the Cowboys did in the playoffs. McKenzie probably should have just run straight out of bounds rather than try to get up the field. But
probably nothing. He either needs to get down or get out of bounds. I thought he could have gotten out of bounds. My podcast partners told me that they didn't think that was possible.
They might be right. It was close, but yes, he probably should have just given himself up right away.
You got to have Brady Quinn talked about this all the time in Seattle when he was up there in training camp. He said Pete Carroll had a study. They brought somebody in to do a study and figure out exactly how much time you need to run a play, building in things that can be out of your control. For instance, did we see the college? Was it what game was it where the refs screwed up the? Was it yesterday or was it Saturday? I can't remember. There was a situation where the referees fumbled the ball. Oh, no, it was the Vikings because it was Garrett Bradbury.
Okay.
Right before the half, I believe, they were trying to get one more play in, and the referees, you know, dropped the ball. And it's like, you can get mad at the ref all you want, but, I mean, if you've watched professional football, these script things all the time. This is just, you have to build that in.
Yes. So they didn't have enough time. But let's just cut to the chase. Dolphins are 3-0. Bills are 2-1. All right, I think we all agree the Bills are still better than the Dolphins in spite of the result. But are the Dolphins legitimately good?
I think the Dolphins are legitimately good. I don't think they are legitimately the number one seed in the AFC. They can threaten to win that division because they now have a game against the Bills. I mean, that's a huge head-to-head situation. Buffalo, one thing that I think is really interesting to watch, you know, a lot of times just, and this is, you know, okay, when we think about injuries that impact NFL teams, we oftentimes focus on obviously the quarterbacks, but because it's, you know, fantasy football driven world, you know, and we focus on receivers and running back. The safety situation and the secondary situation in Buffalo warrants monitoring because Micah Hyde is out for the season. And Jordan Poyer could be back this week. Huge game in Baltimore, by the way. If Poyer doesn't play, they're going to score 400,000 points in that game between those two teams. But those safeties have really been, you know, they when they built that defense in Buffalo, they went and they drafted Tre'Davious White in the first round. They've added other defensive talent through the draft. But Poyer and Hyde, who they got as cheaper veteran free agents, are kind of, I think, the fulcrum and the linchpin of that defense and how they work because of their communication skills, their versatility, and what they do for Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott. And if they're gone, I just have a few red flags about Buffalo's defense, which had gotten so improved on the pass rush that we thought they'd be unstoppable. I'm just curious to see how that pans out. They didn't, you know, Miami didn't light them up yesterday, but
no.
I think that's something to watch moving forward.
So what's going to be the outcome of this investigation into how the Dolphins treated or didn't treat Tua Tagovailoa, who we saw staggered, like he might not have been allowed to continue the fight if Mills Lane were the referee. But
Tua looked like I'm going to look on Sunday morning when I wake up in Death Valley.
I mean, I just, for the life of me, don't understand why how things played out the way they did. But he was good until that.
Well, yeah. The thing on the investigation that's interesting is, I mean, if you are a person with eyeballs and an ability to stream the video of or watch the game of Tua standing up and then falling to a knee and then wobbling around, the Dolphins, I need to look at this to see if they officially said he's questionable with a head injury. But they later came back and said that it was actually a back injury that he suffered earlier that he tweaked, which is, you know, when your owner's already suspended for tampering and you've lost draft picks for like, and like the dude who was running the Bullygate scandal just retired, you know, maybe keep it. I understand the game is important.
Yeah.
And
it is.
That's, it appears. Just, you know, objectively to be a pretty flagrant violation of managing concussion protocols by using a loophole with a different injury to me.
So let's talk about the protocols. There's supposed to be somebody on site that is independent, right? Somebody who's right.
That's who spy. I mean, didn't need binoculars, but they spotted two of them.
So there's supposed to be somebody in charge of that. So that person makes a call. Hey, concussion protocol. Now, that's the responsibility of the team at that point, is it not? Maybe that protocol should be the responsibility of the league, an independent third party.
I could be wrong. I believe that. So when the spotter says, "Hey, that's an issue," you have to come out.
Right.
Like the Dolphins can't be like, "Sorry, Charlie, we're leaving two in because we need to win this game." They did take him back in. I think that he's evaluated by it's not something that you can just necessarily bypass. But, you know, cognitively, you could also not test for a concussion and be concussed. Like it's not like a blood test where you're checking for, you know, some sort of. It's not a concrete yes or no test. The concussion protocols are
right, and these things also can be delayed. Anybody that has ever dealt with one or know people that have dealt with one, sometimes the real effects happen a little bit down the road. Let me move on to, like, I thought Miami was very good yesterday. I actually thought they would win. I was this close. Not that I actually wager money. I had a 3-team home underdog parlay of the Dolphins. The Titans, another game that went down to the wire with the Raiders getting stopped on a 2-point conversion attempt. And I should have known better to think the Cardinals are ever going to beat the Rams. But that was the third one. That one didn't.
1-7 against Los Angeles.
Look, I have no faith at all in the Arizona Cardinals. I've been saying this for years.
The good news is they just signed everybody new contracts.
Excellent. Including Cliff Kingsbury?
Cliff and Kyler signed contracts this offseason.
Unbelievable. Chiefs sort of gave a win away. They're going to regret that, aren't they?
Probably, yes. They, you know, the Harrison Butker being hurt certainly caused issues with this. You know, they had 4 or 5. Yeah, it's weird because Dave Tobe, their special teams coordinator, considered maybe the best or one of the best. Right. Andy Reid always has great special teams guys. That's where John Harbaugh came from.
Correct.
Before he went to the Ravens. And it's rare to see the Chiefs have that many special teams blunders. The Colts, they were – there was another game that was similar. It was sort of like the Lions and the Vikings game where if the Chiefs score one more time, the Colts are probably packing it up and going home.
Mm-hmm.
Or packing it up and going to their locker room. And you let an inferior team at home as a pretty big dog hang around and hang around, and you keep giving them hope, and eventually they're going to find a way to, you know, get a look at something to steal the game, and they did just that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, if I believe I have this right, your two Super Bowl picks, I think,
Birds.
Who look awfully, awfully good. Will Brinson, Pick Six podcast moderator, looking dapper in his Masters hat. If you're watching on ESPN, not ESPN, on WRAL Sports Plus, I don't know what I don't know who I am. And this is the way you're going to be Sunday morning. We'll talk to Will next. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, and I realize it's 3 weeks, but Jalen Hurts looks like a legitimate top 12 quarterback in the league. Nick Sirianni's done a great job. Their defense is really good. They can beat you a lot of different ways. Do we play find the lie here? What?
This is not even a hot take. I think it's just the correct take. And yes, I mean, I'm biased because as a lifelong Eagles fan, I picked them to win the NFC before the season. I had the first ever all bird Super Bowl with the Ravens and the Eagles. And, you know, look,
over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Sometimes you don't have to be a genius to get things right in football. My presumption was that, or my assertion was, and look, Eagles fans pushed back pretty aggressively. A lot of people pushed back aggressively and told me I was an idiot for saying the Eagles could make this run. And it's 3 weeks. They could lose the division still.
Sure.
They could go to the playoffs and lose in the first round. Lots of things can happen. But the logic that this was the logic that I used to base my prediction was that the Eagles were really deep on the offensive line, that they were really deep on the defensive line, similar to 2017 when they did win the Super Bowl.
Right.
That A.J. Brown allowed Devontae Smith to become a 1B or a 2 or a 1B,
yep,
and he would flourish in that role. That Dallas Goedert, without Zach Ertz there, would flourish. And that all that you needed to really be a true contender was Jalen Hurts to take some kind of step forward. And it looks like he's taken a bigger step than even I would have anticipated. And if that's the case, then the Eagles, yes, are arguably the best team in the NFC. Now, do they have a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers? No. But can Jalen Hurts be just as effective as a Matthew Stafford? Not necessarily as a pure passer or his pocket movement, but with his legs. I mean, he's one of the – this is a crazy – like claim, and I didn't come up with it. My now ex-producer, Debo, came up with it. He's like, Jalen Hurts is already a top 10, maybe top 5 all-time rushing quarterback, which is insane.
That's possible. Right.
But very possible, yeah.
Look, he's very solid. And if the rest of the team around you is as good as the Eagles appear to be, and I have termed them Buffalo Bills light. Hmm. Clearly, Jalen Hurts is not Josh Allen. And I don't think they have a Stephon Diggs. But they're sort of no-name backfield.
I'd probably take the Eagles wide receivers over the Bills, actually.
Maybe as a total group. I don't know. I mean, I think Stephon Diggs is that good. But
Diggs would be the best. Diggs would be the best out of that group. But I think that you have to go through three Eagles pass catchers before you get to Gabe Davis, who I really like.
The funny thing about the – and I said this – before the season started, we were talking about teams that were successful last year that I didn't believe would be good this year. One of them was the Tennessee Titans, because I couldn't fathom why they would allow A.J. Brown to go, why they traded A.J. Brown. So I thought the Eagles made out big time with that big physical, top target at wide receiver. And suddenly the Eagles offense, I think, goes to another level. Jalen Hurts doesn't have to be a star. He just has to be good.
That's what I'm saying. He just needed to take a step from what he was last year, which is maybe more of a fantasy quarterback than a real-life great quarterback. By the way, apparently, and I heard this a couple weeks ago, and maybe it was talked about when the trade happened, but Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown have been really good friends since high school.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah, they crossed paths on a recruiting trip to Ole Miss. Hurts would eventually go to Bama, and A.J. Brown would land in Mississippi. But they hit it off, and they have been very good friends since then. And so it was easy to develop a quick rapport between the two once the trade happened.
I mean, I'd like to throw to A.J. Brown if I could throw, because that guy catches everything.
Well, I love him more than a substantial number of people in my direct immediate family.
All right, to the other team you picked to make the Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens. Their secondary is obviously a mess, as evidenced by last week's loss, come from a head loss in Miami. But Lamar is going to post cartoon numbers this year. 100 yards rushing again, right? 5 touchdowns total.
He's going to post bigger numbers because he's playing with a defense that doesn't look like it's going to be very good and probably won't get much better because it doesn't have a great pass rush. They just signed JPP. And the secondary does have playmakers like Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters or could be ball hawks, but the secondary doesn't look great right now. I think the secondary can get better. It may need the pass rush to improve to really reach its possibilities. But anyone in the state of North Carolina or obviously in the local Raleigh area who has listened to you and me talking on the radio every week at noon on Monday for the last 6 months is fully aware that if you're an idiot, if you didn't know that Lamar Jackson was awesome and was going to have a great year and he's betting on himself, we've been talking about this and then people are ranking him like 12th in the quarterback rankings. Get the hell out of here. This guy is unbelievable. He's a former MVP. And right now it's probably between him, Jalen Hurts, and maybe Josh Allen for the MVP in terms of like the week 3 ridiculously too early race.
It is. Yeah. I hate even bringing it up. Just like when you said before the Bears, if this playoffs started today, the Bears would be in. Right. They're 2-1. They still, they're still not good and they won't make the playoffs, but I'm glad they're 2-1. Look, I think the Rave, their offense is Lamar Jackson and everything works off of him. It was nice to see the Mark Andrews have a big day. And the underlying problem may be with the Patriots. I don't think they're good at all.
They're not good.
That's, I mean, there's only so much Bill Belichick can do.
The crazy thing is, and like, I don't like this take, but you can, much like Hurricane Ian brewing off the coast, you can see what's coming, right? Like, you don't need to be, in my defense, I did take weather and climate twice in college. So I am
okay, good.
Pretty much a meteorologist. don't tell my dad that. I think that you can see very obvious, maybe it was Tom Brady all along takes coming because Tom Brady keeps winning at his age, despite, a lot of his guys missing and losing on the offensive line. And Bill Belichick, despite having numerous resources, unable to rebuild in the post-Brady era. Now, we think Mac Jones is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Looks like he's going to miss several weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's pretty good.
Well, and look, Belichick also made the decision to let Matt Patricia and Joe Judge run his offense.
I know.
I wouldn't let them clean my kitchen.
Yeah, there's been a lot of strange decisions. The Mac Jones thing, I think Mac Jones is okay. I think that's as far as it goes. I think he's a game manager. I think what we're going to see over the next however many weeks is that it doesn't look any different with Brian Hoyer than it really did with Mac Jones.
Or it could even be Bailey Zappi.
Or Bailey Zappi. I don't know. Bailey Zappi might give them.
Maybe. Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you realize that? What was the stat? There's something about like comparing the Patriots to 2001. And it was like, and we were kind of joking. It was like, well, what if Mac Jones gets hurt and Bailey Zappi comes in and he's Tom Brady? Just like Bledsoe, the former first round pick.
To that end, because we only have about a minute or so here. If Zappi plays well, hey, look, if I'm Bill Belichick, if Zappi plays well, I have no problem sticking with him. Much like tonight, and Jerry Jones has invited this, Well, I hope we have a quarterback controversy. That would be great if Cooper Rush plays really well. Now, I think Jerry was kidding. Like, there will be no quarterback controversy.
And by the way, first of all, shout out to my good friend Heidi, a huge Cowboys fan. Secondly, yes, he was kidding about the controversy. It's right. Dak's job. But he was not kidding about, man, it'd be awesome if Cooper Rush could win some games.
Right, because you want your backup to do well. You want to know that you can go to that guy. So,
that's what Dak did when Tony Romo got hurt.
Exactly. So, look, there's not a quarterback controversy. There won't be one. We can create one all we want. Dallas's defense is good enough to win this game on its own, correct?
Yeah, I guess the Giants, sure. Yeah. The undefeated Giants, yes.
The undefeated Giants. I don't think the Giants are good at all. But
the Bears are 2-1.
Are 2-0, and the Giants will be 2-1 possibly after tonight, but maybe they'll win a game. All right, Will Brinson, I'll see you very soon, maybe in 7 days. Nice hat, nice beard, nice. You clean up well.
That's your shabby yourself.
Good luck. Good luck to the Pack on Saturday in Death Valley. All right, man. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.